Hello, this is Chaz from Quiet Speculation, and you're listening to the QS Cast. If you're a QS subscriber, you're hearing this as soon as it gets published. If you're not a subscriber, you had to wait a few days. If you want to listen to the podcast as soon as it's published, or you just want to know more about Quiet Speculation, go to quietspeculation.com/tour and check out everything we have to offer. Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to the QS Cast. Me and my shiny new mic that I've been alluding to. So this is going to be, we're recording live, and this will be the first cast. So hopefully it's enjoyable, and hopefully I got my money's worth. Joining me tonight, Morgan, what's up?
Hi. When you started saying shiny new, I thought you were going to say shiny new co-host, and we're talking about me. I was really excited, but then you were talking about your mic.
Oh, well. The mic's filling in for Tarkan, so the mic's the actual co-host. So Tarkan's okay. Not here. So yeah, Tarkan's not here. And you're still pretty much the new co-host. So yeah, shiny new co-host. Morgan's still new. The mic is new. Everything's new. A damn grandfather clock again.
Oh, I hear it this time.
Yeah, see, it's super sensitive. That's what I get for recording in New York.
I saw that you got a new mic, I literally thought maybe I'll be able to hear the grandfather clock.
Yeah, you heard it this time. So that's going to be super annoying. But underway, so this is going to be a very laid back and awesome cast. So it's late. Our docket for tonight, we're going to recap some interests. We are going to talk about the Pro Tour announcements. And Morgan and I will kind of dissect that a little bit. We'll talk about kind of the effects it may have or not have, and get a little, I got a little heat about it all since the kind of the announcement, but we're going to delve into it a little bit more. And then Morgan kind of wanted to discuss the modern portion of that more in depth, and kind of see, now that modern is kind of back on the Pro Tour schedule, what does that actually mean? What can we see? You know, how does this change back to going from no Pro Tour to suddenly Pro Tour again? Just to kind of refresh everyone's memory on that one. And let's just dive right into it. We'll do interest first and then kind of go into the announcement and modern.
Okay. Yeah.
So what do we got this week? Just to recap, we have Willow Sater increased. It was just a card with no supply. It was a card that I felt was very unique. Has been creeping up for quite some time, and it finally kind of just disappeared. Apparently, I had my modulation, so I'm trying to fix that on the fly. Startled Awake, Morgan, you nailed that one pretty well. It kind of went from nothing. It kind of increased and then increased again. So it's in your article. Probably it was because of you. So good job.
Startled Awake wasn't in my article. In the podcast last week,
right? Podcast, but Champion of Wits was in your recent article, and I think that was the big takeaway from last podcast as well. Went from basically under $1 to a little over $1, now sitting at three and some change. I know some folks since the last podcast with Chris Van Meter, it was a great cast. Went out and kind of acquired some copies, and have it's been really successful for them. So that's great. Couple versions of Winds of Change, and we're actually going to talk about this in a second. I think this really this now solidifies that the Locust God is kind of the card out of this set that, you know, is sparking all these EDH and Commander increases. It had a few things from the start, and then it kind of settled a little bit. Now I think everyone's just kind of ramping up because it's a lot of fun. And Hapatra was the same way. It was kind of like some cards would increase, and then you wouldn't see anything for a while, and then some random other cards would increase. So Winds of Change, next up on that kind of train that's been moving around. All versions, but the Portal version, which I always love the art, it is Black Border, has increased significantly outside of the Alpha and Beta versions. So there's a few of those. Was there a couple others that we pointed out, Morgan?
We Hour of Devastation still holding strong, and then there are a couple of new picks for this week. I like Crested Sunmare. If you plan on playing it, it's already $5, so it might be a little expensive to pick up as a speculation, but it the price I could see doubling just because it's like the sweet thick of the set. And we kind of talked about that a little bit last week. I don't know what was with Adorned Pouncer, because one of the things I liked about Champion of Wits is that just like expected to be strong, and Adorned Pouncer looks the same way. It seems really sweet. It's like it could do something, especially since like White Weenie is one of the archetypes that Wizards will support once in a while, and that could easily happen within the next rotation. Since we're talking about Modern today, I want to talk a little bit about Ulamog the Ceaseless Hunger. It's going to be rotating out of Standard in a little over 2 months. It's probably not a great pickup, but it's been proven to hold its value Modern because it sees play and variant all over. So I think that's a pretty safe mythic from us for a set that's going to be rotating out relatively soon.
Yeah, I think so too. It always it has immense casual appeal as well.
Yeah, and then you were talking about like somebody called it a fad commander. In the
we had a comment about that. Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. I mean,
and well, what I was going to say about that is like, even though the commander itself is a fad and people are like really excited about cards that can, you know, that have a lot of synergy with it, like they might stop playing the commander, but the cards that increased in price as a result generally don't go down that far.
Yeah, I mean, there's usually other commanders, especially like these wheel commanders. There's quite a few of them out there. I mean, David Schumann wrote an article on QS. I think it went up today or yesterday, you know, talking about you have Nekuzar, you have all these other generals, but the Locust God really kind of focuses on when you draw. So all these kind of different cards increase just because of that. I mean, it is a little niche, but I mean, when you look at certain cards like Wheel of Fortune, a card that, you know, Tarkan has been talking about a long time, that's just a generally great card. And you're absolutely right, Morgan, those cards will increase and never decrease because it just has so many applications. And every time you kind of inject new hype and these new commanders into the format and you find renewed interest, it only just continues to increase. And I mean, I'm just using that one as an example. I mean, Winds of Change, same thing. It's just so undercosted. It could have some other applications as well. Every time a new commander that utilizes these cards comes out, these cards increase a little bit. You know, they may plateau and fizzle off a little bit, but they never go back down to that original price.
Yeah, I agree. And basically the only time I see commander cards go down is when they're reprinted. And as we're seeing with like recent price increases of commander set cards, like even that doesn't last for too long, I mean, a year or two, and it's back climbing up again.
Yep. So basically all that, a lot of what we talked about last week actually increased. I mean, some of them were on their way to increasing, but they increased even further since then. It was a lot of information to draw from last week's cast with Chris Van Meter. And kind of the entire panel last week had some really great choice cards to acquire. This week, so we talked about the Locust God, you know, and it's kind of creating these fads. I'm going to steal David's thunder here a little bit. He wrote about it in the article, but I wanted to reiterate it here again because I really did agree with his choice pick right here. Time Reversal. Now, I know everybody has just nightmares about this card because it might have been one of, if not the like biggest busts in recent Magic history. And, you know, you have horror stories of people pre-ordering this card for like 20 or 30 bucks. But that has long since passed, and the card is basically under $1 these days. But I wanted to focus really on the foils. There's two core set printings, so there's not a ton of them. And, you know, it's just not a card that many people might go after just because of all that kind of feel bad, you know, memory. But I think the foils might actually be a great pickup, and they're only sitting around $5. It could be a great card to stash away, especially because the Locust God plays really well with that card, as David pointed out. So I wanted to reiterate that here. So normal copies sitting around like $1, $1.50. The foil's around, you know, five-ish. I really like the foils here with just the two printings. There might not be a ton out there.
And like when you say time, I kind of think to memory, just because commit to memory has the time reversal effect on it. Commit is like pretty powerful in a multiplayer format as well.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's a great card
right now.
So there was that. What else did I want to highlight on? Yeah, I know a few of you are talking about it in the chat, but Tarkan has been talking about Wheel of Fortune for a long time. I mean, I think he's mentioned that card at least, I don't know, like four or five times in the last few months. You know, every like kind of interval, it feels like almost every single month he's been talking about it, slips in Wheel of Fortune just like, you know, as sneakily as he can. I went super bold on this one. Now, this is like for folks that are probably way more bolder than I am. I'm going with the Judge promo because it was during a time where these promos kind of slipped through the crack and then they kind of axed that like they're not even doing the promos anymore. No, none of the Judge promos from the vault. They're not kind of doing that. So that one kind of slipped through the crack. There's not many of them out there. They're already really expensive. So that is not for the faint-hearted. But I think, you know, when every other version is increasing, I mean, eventually you'll hit that percentage mark, I think, even on the high end on those Judge promos. It is the only foil version that will likely ever be in print.
Wheel of Fate is a pretty good mention just because of its kind of casual cascade appeal. So I think that one, it did have a C16 printing, but like I said, those cards that get printed in Commander decks tend to not stay at that cheap price that they drop to for a very long time.
Yes, Journey. Yeah, we have chat tonight. What?
Speaking of reserve list, Chaz, did you see that Legacy was going to be a Pro Tour format, basically?
Yeah, we're going to – don't get me fired up just yet because I wanted to finish off these other cards before I lose track of them.
Oh, yeah.
So before we get to the announcement specifically, just hold that thought. There was also – so we have – for me, we have, just to recap, Time Reversal Foils, Wheel of Fortune, looking at the Judge promo. I wanted to highlight, too, there was a pretty major one-versus-one commander update. And I know, you know, folks have been kind of talking about this. Does it cause cards to increase? It definitely does have the kind of influence to make cards increase. I don't know by how much, especially because it's just still so fresh that, I mean, I follow the format. I just don't know where this ends up. But I wanted to look at the two cards that were unbanned in Fast Bond, which is also on the reserve list. So do what you will. Trying to be sneaky here. We look at Mind Twist. I wanted to look at the Mind Twist Invocation. It's actually one that was really well received. People really like the art. And I believe it's the only foil printing. So yeah, it definitely is. That could be a great pickup. And I think they're only hovering around like $25. If that becomes a really big thing in one versus one, you can expect that to keep increasing because the format was shaken up in a pretty major way on the paper side. And my hope is that the MTGO ban list kind of mimics the paper ban list because it really needs to at this point. The MTGO one versus one leagues are an absolute train wreck, and they only have themselves to blame because they don't follow the paper ban list.
Yeah. I haven't touched those yet because, like, they need to figure some stuff out before it's what I'd consider to be, like, a good thing to get to without already owning the cards. Yeah, that's all. That, and I already kind of gave mine, like, Sisunmere being the big one. If it's something you're interested in, it's a pretty safe pickup.
I was just waiting for that damn clock to stop. This thing's going to kill me through the cast. So, yeah, I just wanted to finish up there. On to the announcement. So we kind of talked about what increased from last week. We talked about the cards that we wanted to talk about. The announcement. Just take us through a little bit, just the general announcement, Morgan, because there's a lot of things to kind of keep track of. Legacy is part of the team Pro Tour part, right? So it's kind of one third of the Pro Tour. And then Modern is officially like on the Pro Tour again. It's going to get its own Pro Tour, I believe, Rivals of Ixalan.
I'm on the Grand Prix page right now, which is...
Yeah, February 2018. So,
okay.
Firstly, I don't know what all the like controversy is about this. I think it's pretty obvious that, you know, you don't need a lot to push legacy viable cards in the right direction, especially dual lands. I mean, the numbers are in front of us. You pull up any, I mean, I have the numbers right in front of me, the graphs. You pull up any of the dual land graphs. Let's kind of look at Underground Sea here. Every single year since 2012, it has ended in an increase. You know, they kind of reach these new plateaus. They will kind of settle a little bit, but every single year they increase. So I don't understand what the whole controversy is when you put Legacy and Pro Tour in the same sentence. That is not something that a lot of people thought would happen, particularly like at this point, because they've gradually cut back coverage of Legacy to a point where it was almost like barely even covered. We go from barely even covered Legacy to even one third of a Pro Tour is going to kind of spark a lot of interest in the format again and a little bit more confidence again. I mean, if it's really a big success, they will keep the team aspect of it, and it will regularly be part of the Pro Tour, even if it's one third of it. So I just don't understand. I mean, a lot of folks in this kind of niche, you know, finance community are kind of backing away. Oh, it's not like it's not the Pro Tour announcement that's making the dual lands increase. Then what is it? I mean, when do you want to wait? Do you want to just keep waiting every single year when they increase? Do you want to just, you know, never? I mean, what? I mean, the Pro Tour is certainly not going to hurt.
One of the big draws to the legacy aspect of the Pro Tour, too, is like the legacy specialist does not need to qualify for the RPTQ on their own. Basically, how the PPTQ to RPTQ qualification works for the team Pro Tour is one person on the team needs to qualify for the RPTQ, and then from there you can qualify for the Pro Tour. So if you know a guy who hasn't touched a modern card in his life other than to, you know, take out the fetch lands for his legacy deck, then that person does not need to win a PPTQ in order to like carry you guys in the RPTQ.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know what the whole, like, I don't even understand why it's a kind of an argument between folks in this, you know, in this kind of finance community, whatever you want to call it. They're increasing on their own. So, I mean, when you kind of look at an announcement like this, and then you see literally a day later, every single dual land on the interest page, I don't know. I mean, it's not going to happen tomorrow. They may not spike overnight. They're not going to like spike crazy amounts. It's not going to be tomorrow. Might not be the next day. But the time to always buy duels is yesterday. And I just don't understand why folks would not see this announcement as just another reason for folks to continue buying dual lands. I mean, just talking about Underground Sea and this, the crazy like Star City Games fiasco, which I'm not really going to talk about. I mean, it is what it is. I can't tell you for certain what happened. All I know is that it seemed really coincidental. You increase certain cards right before the announcement. That's all I'll say. I'm sure nothing crazy is going on, but it just looked a little sketchy. Whatever.
I mean, when I see a dual land price go up, I just kind of assume that it's because, you know, somebody turned the page and saw how old dual lands were and realized they took another look at the reserved list policy and realized that, nope, Wizards is still not reprinting dual lands.
I mean, I just had all these conversations after the announcement. It's like, I don't really understand why, you know, folks are firing back at each other like, oh, you know, it's, you know, blah, 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 and it's not the big deal, and it's not the reason they're increasing. Well, then they're increasing on their own, and this is just another reason to grab them before their astronomical prices. I mean, Underground Sea, I mean, whether we like it, Star City's influence or not, I mean, once those prices start, you know, getting set, everyone's going to be following suit. I mean, we're talking $500 for an Underground Sea, I mean, revised. It's super hard to even find any of them as it is. I rarely come across them.
So when I When I think of cards like Mox Ruby, for example, if that was like the prize for a win a Mox tournament, I'd see that as an opportunity to like have it and just hold. Are you saying you want to buy up dual lands when you get the opportunity this will increase in value, or like you just won't get to play with it in, you know, 3 months?
It's going to
otherwise.
Get to a point where, I mean, if you're priced out now, it's only going to get worse. I'm not looking at these specifically for sure. You're going to get, you know, X on your return. You're going to get this percentage of profit. I'm looking at this as if you need them when you put Legacy and Pro Tour in the same sentence, I mean, this is going to cause a lot of folks to go out and purchase up the last few, you know, all these dual lands that they need for their personal sets. I mean, I even did it. I don't want to just keep waiting. If it's anything, it's going to light a fire under people's behinds to go out there and just finish things up, because I just don't see a reality where you mention Legacy in a Pro Tour and suddenly they're just not going to increase. They've been increasing on their own without that every single year.
Okay. There's a link in the chat saying that Ben Blyweiss addressed the SCG controversy. A link to Reddit.
Yeah, he made a post in Reddit. You know, he went into some depth about, oh, well, if you track the last few months or what have you, we've been pricing up all these cards and this, that, and the other thing, and went through all these bullet points. Listen, if you're steadfast on not believing Star City Games and Ben, then fine. But I thought his response was more than adequate. It was appropriate, and we could just move on. You're never going to know. You know, I would just hope that things are fine and not some crazy conspiracy. But we would never know. I mean, it's not like it's not, what do you want Ben to say? Like, oh, you got us. Like, that's what we were doing. That's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So in a market that's not regulated,
yeah,
you know, stuff like this can absolutely happen and it can go unchecked and you would never know about it. So yeah.
yeah. And it's very exciting. It's all very exciting. Lots of new stuff.
It is. Yeah. I mean, Efren said it best. It happens in regulated markets. And so what do you expect is going to happen? Moving on, though. I think just a general, listen, if, especially with the dual lands, again, the numbers are there. You can look at any single graph you want. The dual lands increase. There might be renewed interest in some other stuff. But see, there's the thing, though. You know, I mean, people that kind of forget about Legacy and don't really follow it anymore is suddenly going to have it thrust back into their face. And it's going to be part of the team. Whether it's one third of the team or not, you're going to see Legacy again and get refreshed. And people are going to be like, oh, this is like pretty sweet still. Like, I love this format. It's on a Pro Tour. I want to go play it. You never know. If anything, to hedge that you're not spending astronomical prices on them later, might as well just grab them, because, I mean, even Badlands has come up from nothing to something. I mean, Bayou has increased tremendously.
If you want to just look at a card that kind of exemplifies everything that's playable in Legacy is going to go up eventually. Just look at Stronghold Gambit, which is quickly becoming the mascot for this cast, I would say.
I think so. I think it really is Stronghold Gambit.
That card is like, it's singularly just a crazy shenanigans card that you would expect to see maybe at a kitchen table, but you know, it's playable in Legacy, so
it has
it's
that
$5.
Power, especially for cards that haven't been reprinted in, I mean, how long? It's from Nemesis. I mean, yeah. Might as well be from beta at this point. So moving on, I mean, you wanted to talk about Modern specifically. Really quickly, the way I see that breaking down is just Modern goes back to its cyclical thing where you see these crazy spikes on cards that are either new technology or cards that haven't been reprinted recently. They could have been reprinted, you know, something like Street Wraith, but they haven't been reprinted recently.
Yeah, there's like there's a couple of notable uncommons in Modern that might end up going up as a result of the announcement of Modern Pro Tours again. Stuff like Path to Exile has been at a pretty reasonable price because of its like number of reprintings, but that's probably not going to last very long anymore. Inquisition of Kozilek as well. And then things like Kitchen Finks that just have like such a difficult time being reprinted in anything other than like Commander sets. And I don't think that's going to be seeing a reprint in Commander set just because of the weird mechanics that it has that need to be taken into account when it's being considered for reprint. They're already like 10-ish, $10, $15, but they could go up from there, especially foils. And I don't expect to see a lot of movement in the modern metagame right away. And you usually see this more with the release of cards that are like first sets in a block. Usually you'll see something cool happen in the first set of a block. And that hasn't really happened recently. So like you're still going to see Mox Opal decks be good. You're still going to see decks that rely heavily on fetch lands to be good. And you're still going to see Tron being good. I think is like, it's not going to stay where it is very long. So like, that's the sort of stuff that I think is pretty important.
It might be
and
going off soon.
And it's 9:15, so I expect the grandfather clock is going off, which is why I don't need jazz. So I think modern, like those uncommons, those staple uncommons are stuff to look out for. And I think that you shouldn't be worried about buying into things like Mox Opal and Noble Hierarch right now, because Wizards is going to be a lot more cautious about doing like quote unquote shake-up bannings than they were in the past.
It's over. <now.
laughs> And Chaz says the grandfather clock is
yes.
going off. So
yes.
Your cool
in the
microphone.
Chat- Yeah, I mean, I love just to kind of look at the comments. I love Inquisition. I mean, it's still, what, top 10 played card in the format? It's been reprinted twice. Probably not going to be $2, $3 forever. I can see it going right back to the $6, $8 mark, especially with Modern being its own Pro Tour format again. It's just those little things. I mean, so it's just an overall – I can't foresee any particular card right at the moment. Obviously, we have to look at results. We kind of have to see what's strong going into the Pro Tour. There's still some time. We have, I believe, at least one Master set before the actual Modern Pro Tour, right? We have Iconic. I don't know about the 25th Masters thing, that Master set. That's afterward, I think, right? We definitely
Pro
get
Tour.
Iconic
Modern
Masters.
Pro Tour is coming up in
I believe
February,
the second one's later
February.
That year.
Yeah, Iconic Masters is November, so we're certainly good.
Yeah, and I think the other one's after the Pro Tour. But listen, I mean, it just kind of goes right back to what we know. We're going to see some crazy stuff. I do believe you saw on Reddit, or Twitter rather, Morgan, that they're not going to do any kind
of
crazy.
One of the things that people immediately kind of jumped
Pro Tour,
to when
right?
they saw that there was a Modern Pro Tour again was like, oh, Wizards of the Coast is going to start more heavily regulating Modern again, because that's what we kind of saw the last time that Modern was a Pro Tour format, which is a couple of years ago now, when things like Deathrite Shaman getting banned and Birthing Pod getting banned and Splinter Twin getting banned. That was all part of like this push for Modern to be a more diverse format. So people were really worried about that. And I saw on Twitter a post, I can't remember who it was from, unfortunately, but it was saying that, no, we're not going to ban anything just because of the Modern PT. But
it was a Wizards employee.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
I was like,
we'll try to dig that up
or something.
Yeah, it sounds like him.
Yeah. Which is, I think a lot of people are like that with a grain of salt, but I am inclined to like put my faith in that one. So like, I'm not really worried about building Affinity, for example, for fear of my Mox Opals being banned. Oh, yeah, okay. So we do have a confirmation it was Aaron Forsythe.
Yeah, it was Aaron. So that's good. I mean,
cool.
On the flip side, we're not going to expect any crazy things to happen on unbannings either. So you don't have to rush out and buy Jace the Mind Sculptor right before banning again. You don't have to rush out and grab a bunch of Splinter Twins. So I think they're going to leave Modern alone because it's really great right now, and then just let it ride through the Pro Tour.
Yeah, I think
that's the best course of action. Assessment.
This will mean that things like that Modern staples might like dual lands, but at a kind of smaller scale because their starting price is a lot lower. Things like fetch lands, things like Mox Opal, like I said, because I don't think it's going to get banned anytime soon. Things like Noble Hierarch. The last time that Modern had a really big push it was Modern Masters 2015. Those guys all went up pretty high after the release of Modern Masters 2015. And I think we are going to see that as well. So if you're looking to buy into a Modern deck, you might want to do it pretty fast.
I think this is all great news, and this certainly opens up a lot more avenues to purchasing with upside. I mean, anytime Modern's back on this Pro Tour schedule, we're going to see a lot of different things happen. So it's good to get a little break from Standard, even though Standard has been kind of turning it around.
Yeah.
It's kind of great to kind of not just be so focused on EDH and Standard, because really that's like, I mean, we have stuff here and there, but it's good to have other formats back on the Pro Tour schedule again. It was getting a little monotonous.
Yeah.
So there's going to, I mean, it just opens up a ton more avenues to look for value, purchase for upside. So that's great. Anything we miss, Morgan? We still have some time. It's going to take a little bit of time to kind of monitor what's going on. But I do think in the immediate future, dual lands will increase a little bit. I don't think they will be spiking anything like crazy, but they will increase enough that it's worthwhile just to finish up any last copies that you would need, or if you're using any, or if you plan on not using any, you can use this opportunity. So I would just wait and see on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The FNM promo changes. I didn't think we were going to talk about this. Really, the big takeaway here, I mean, there's not a huge financial impact other than that. That's kind of it for FNM promos. So if there's certain FNM promos that have upside, you can be sure that they're not going to be reprinted as an FNM promo again. So we can look back on a pretty long list of FNM promos. I mean, one just jumps to mind. I'm just using this as an example, like Crystal and Sliver. I know that's been one that's held value for a long time. I talked about this on the Goldfish cast, and I'll just say it here very quickly again. I think it was a stupid move. If you're going to, and just kind of the way I think, if you're going to come to me and tell me, hey, we're going to remove this program, do you have a better alternative? And to me, what they replaced the FNM promos, like this whole program that they're replacing it with, is just either at parity or worse. I mean, I don't see double-sided tokens being worthwhile, and the lands are being included in the showdown packs. So really, what does that even do? That's not even an FNM promo.
Yeah.
I just think it was a stupid move.
I agree. I think that I really liked the FNM promos, and I think if they had played in that space a lot more, they could have got more out of it. And I don't think they're going to have that flexibility with tokens.
They're not. It's a shame, because as a veteran player, this is now the second player-driven program that they've canceled. And I get it. The player rewards program was a logistical nightmare, mailing out cards, and I get it. But I always kind of thought that FNM promos would always be a thing, just because the program's been around for a decade. So, and you look at the last 3 years, and I just don't get it. You cite data that can clearly be skewed by recent attendance and banning, six cards in Standard and all this instability. I just don't get it. And I'm sure, I mean, some stores out there have been pointing out numbers that, there hasn't been that much more attendance when you look at like Frostwalker and some other, like some high-end FNM promo. Well, yeah, maybe that's because when Aether Hub was released, Standard was absolutely horrendous. And Frostwalker Standard was great. so people wanted to play it anyway. I mean, the FNM promo, the end stop, it's not the end all be all. It aids folks to, or it aids good formats to bring in folks to play, or it's the balancing act on the scale of, do I want to go see a movie or do I want to go to FNM? And that's kind of always what I thought.
So I think that, like, from a tournament organizer point of view, like, I've been, for the last 3 years, I've been working in stores. And there are times when we get, like, you know, 15 more people because they want a Stoke the Flames. Remember Stoke the Flames when that uncommon was $5? The promo was great for that. And then, like, there are other times where we'd just be giving out Frostwalker promos or something because, like, nobody wanted one that was at FNM. So it really, it doesn't affect the core demographic, the people that you see at FNM week in and week out, no matter what, but it does affect who comes into the store that normally wouldn't. And I think that's really important, because, like, I can rely on my regulars to come into my store, but if I don't get a steady flow of, like, new people who tell their friends about it, then I'm not doing as well as I would want to, regardless of how many Absolutely. Regulars I have.
It really hurts stores, and stores are going to be, yeah, they're getting the raw end of the deal on this one. It was a horrible choice. And if you were going to remove the program, I would have had at least wanted them to wait and see the dust settling to see if Standard can stabilize. And I get it. You can use any format for FNM, but let's cut to brass tacks here. Standard is what was emphasized. It just was. It always has been, as long as I've been a player. So Standard's always been emphasized.
Yeah,
for Modern sure. Could probably bring it in. Yeah, okay. I can believe that. But I just don't know. To me, it was the tipping scale. If the promo was good, I definitely want to choose FNM over X Activity. And good promos aid good formats. So if the format's already good, then you're definitely locked in to go to FNM.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seemed really silly to me. Yeah, see, FNM over karate.
If the promo is good. I think
FNM over karate, even if the promo's bad, but we won't let BioSpark know. I think we covered everything we wanted to cover, right? Yeah. Is there any
Yeah, we got interests, we got the new announcement. We got dual lands.
I need to start writing this down. So I'm going to make sure I write down because I feel like I miss a. Oh, yes. This is a really pretty good one, too. It just popped back into my head. If you want a decent alternative to Wheel of Fortune, Jace's Archivist is a pretty good one. I like foils, especially. I mean, it's obviously way worse. You don't replace Wheel of Fortune, but that could be a sneaky grab too. I've seen that on stock increase updates, I think the last week, a couple times on the normal side, which is kind of odd. And I think the foil version and the non-foil version are pretty close in price now. Horizon Canopy Expedition. Horizon Canopy to me is one of those cards that if it gets reprinted once, it's like a $20 card or a $15. I mean, it's like a $15 card. It's only really a crazy price because how scarce it is. It's from Future Sight, and for whatever reason, it's like $90, $100. Same with Grove of the Burn Willows. If those cards get a reprint, I see a drastic deduction in their price. The Expedition, though, they're almost kind of like pseudo reserve list too. I don't think those will be affected as much. And there's that damn clock again, so it's getting about that time. Oh, it was gone from TCG about an hour ago. Yeah, I wouldn't be buying into that kind of hype. I never really liked it. I don't really like the Expeditions that much. I mean, I like a few of them. I like Ancient Tomb. That's about it. It's pretty much Ancient Tomb. I love Ancient Tomb. Yeah, that's there you go. There's the next one. I'll be looking at that like in 2 days.
All right. Heard it here first, guys. Ancient Tomb Expedition is a sure thing. All right, guys. I want you to watch out for Crested Sunmare to go to $10 because apparently talking about mythics on the cast has that effect from me. Thank you, Startled Awake.
Yes, that was all you. Your choice from last week. And then I think you're probably going to start a Morgan effect. I think your article about Champion of Wits really was informative. The card can do a lot of crazy stuff. I mean, it really can.
Yeah. If you guys haven't checked out my article, I'm really excited about it. I'm really happy with it. It's all about Champion of Wits.
Man, we got a great cast tonight. We got Zod, we got Valkyries, we got Stronghold Gambits. We got a lot of stuff. Journey. Great cast. Papu, you're going to have to start, or Guillaume, you're going to have to start tracking Morgan's choices from now on. Picks, choices, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, we're going to have to start doing callbacks. If you guys have any questions about any of the cards that we talked about on the cast and where their prices are going, just tweet at us with the hashtag the Valkyrie effect. So, yeah, that's all I got.
Oh, no.
Guys, this is the easiest shade I've ever thrown, and I didn't even have to say anything. I didn't even have to think about it.
Okay, I think that's going to about wrap it up. Sorry for the technical issues, and hopefully I can get my mic in a better working order. Morgan, always a pleasure. It was a great cast.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is really fun. We had a great cast. I love the Valkyrie effect.
So, yeah, you guys can find me on Twitter at MTGValkyrie. Yes. Tweet at me with the hashtag the Valkyrie effect. We'll see if we can't get that trending. You can see me, my draft videos are on YouTube, youtube.com/MTGValkyrie channel. If you're listening to this live, I'm going to be streaming tomorrow, twitch.tv/mind of Mirrodin. It's different. I'll be posting it on Twitter. Don't worry. And you can find my articles on the Quiet Speculation Insider page most recently. Everything fun that I want to do with Champion of Wits.
Nice. It was a great article. So that's where you can find Morgan. You can find me on Twitter at ChazVMTG. You can find the cast every single week. You can find any others, everything else by me. I do it all over at Quiet Speculation. And if you want, you can listen to my other cast, the MTG Goldfish podcast, every week. So that will about do it. That's going to wrap things up for tonight. Morgan, we'll do this again next week. And take care, everyone.
Have a good night.